Another European country gets a ratings cut.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. The ratings agency Moody's downgraded the credit of Portugal today. That's going to make it harder for the Portuguese government to borrow money, and the value of the euro has dropped on the news. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London to talk about it. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
All right, so Portugal's not a huge economy. How big a deal is this?
Well, yes, you're right. I mean, Portugal is a small economy. It's only two-thirds the size of Greece, which is itself pretty small. But this downgrade is a reminder that the big problem overhanging global markets hasn't gone away. And that, of course, is the problem of government or sovereign debt, the fear that one or more of these heavily indebted Eurozone governments might default, and the fear that that would really rock the euro, the single currency.
And we've been hearing, Stephen, though, that Europe's, you know, turning the corner. I mean, this seems like a surprise.
Yes, I mean, you're right. There has been some calm entering the market. But that talk about the euro turning the corner may have been a little premature, says Neil McKinnon, who watches currency markets for VTB Capital.
There is a real danger of a further slide if we see more problems with European banks and more problems with Eurozone sovereign debt.
And he says traders could get even more jittery about the euro over the next few days because the so-called bank stress tests are coming out here soon. This is something the American banks went through last year, a series of theoretical crises that banks are put through to test their health. Well, the results of the European bank stress tests are due out at the end of next week.
Mm. All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London this morning. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Despite the downgrade and the reminders of European debt that Stephen mentioned, stocks on the continent are actually a lot higher at the moment. Shares in London, Paris, and Frankfurt up by an average of 1.5% right now. Asian shares slipped on news Chinese property prices fell for the first time in 1.5 years. So we're talking about 0.5% or less. Wall Street yesterday, small gains for the market. The NASDAQ and S&P barely pushed the needle. The Dow added 18 points to close at 10,216. Well, today could be a big day for American Airlines. The company's awaiting word from European regulators whether it can coordinate its transatlantic flights directly with British Airways in Iberia. Why is it such a big deal? Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more.
American Airlines, British Airways, and Iberia are already in the same frequent flyer alliance, but the deal on the table would push their partnership to a new level. The carriers would be able to coordinate the times and prices of their transatlantic flights, and perhaps most importantly, they'd share revenue. Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly says on the lucrative New York to London route, for instance,
now there'll basically be one airline in that market, and they'll be able to optimize everything together instead of competing against each other.
He says that'll mean more money for American Airlines. The carrier is on the verge of falling to third place in the U.S. following the merger of Delta and Northwest and the pending merger of United and Continental.
You know, American doesn't make money flying in short-haul markets, but they can make money flying long-haul. And this is very important for that reason.
American has tried and failed to do this in the past, but Kaplan says this time the regulatory atmosphere is just right. The deal has already been approved by U.S. authorities. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The International Energy Agency, the IEA, says oil demand around the world will go up next year. The rise will be fueled by economic growth in developing nations, overcoming a drop in demand by wealthier ones.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
The health industry is a big market. Now yoga is a growing slice of it. Classes, mats, books, and other spin-off items have made yoga a $6 billion a year industry. So it's perhaps not surprising that there's a rush to patent yoga poses at U.S. patent offices. That's got some people in India bent out of shape. Raymond Thibodeau reports from New Delhi.
In a leafy Delhi suburb, yoga teacher Maini Chaitanya leads a class in Sivananda Yoga. His students crouch down like sprinters at the start of a race, then fold themselves into an upside-down V.
Hold the breath
Chaitanya says it's hard to imagine that some yoga positions, better known here as asanas, could be off limits to him and his students because of patent infringements.
Truth can be available to everybody.
Truth is available to everybody. Gravity cannot be patented. Same thing. Yoga can't be patented.
But when several yoga gurus in the U.S. started franchising their yoga centers, they applied for patents for their signature styles. V.K. Gupta heads the Traditional Knowledge Digital Library. It's part of India's Center for Scientific and Industrial Research, the government agency trying to stop the patenting of traditional yoga moves. He believes that any patent-hungry yoga teacher doesn't have yoga's best interests at heart.
He wants to make his own money for his own benefit on a knowledge which he has no business to make money because he did not create. That knowledge was created 4,000 years back.
Gupta says the problem is that knowledge is written in Sanskrit, an ancient and little-known Indian language. His team has spent 2 years combing through Sanskrit scriptures to identify at least 900 asanas and catalog them in English and other major languages.
We provide information to the patent system so that they do not grant a wrong patent.
That is, a patent for a yoga pose that already exists. India has agreements with U.S. patent offices to protect its traditional knowledge from being wrongly copyrighted. Still, the U.S. has issued about 130 yoga-related patents to date, many of them apparently for innovations to traditional yoga poses. But with more than 84,000 distinct yoga poses described in India's Sanskrit tomes, coming up with something original could be quite a stretch. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
And finally, the 82-year-old son of author Ernest Hemingway says his dad would love a new line of shoes bearing his name. The footwear will be made in El Salvador of American bison and calf hide. They'll be available in the fall for about $150 or more. Best thing about the shoes, says Patrick Hemingway, you can wear them without socks. He says his father hated socks. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.